97.5, The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic. Flyers take down those Florida Panthers and continue their upward trajectory up the Eastern Conference standings. And much needed win, obviously. At this point in the season, they're all kind of much needed. But Flyers pick up the win over Florida 4-1. Claude Giroux gets the empty netter. All kinds of good stuff coming from this game. Taking your reaction, 610-632-0975. If you were there, if you were watching it, you were taking it in. You saw the return of Carter Hart. You saw Ivan Provorov get on the board. James Van Riemsdyk nets his 16th of the season. All kinds of good stuff. And obviously Claude Giroux with the empty netter to cap it off. A comeback win for the Flyers. 30 saves. Wow. I mean, Josh can hardly contain himself back there. I mean, he was nearly doing backflips by the time I walked in here when the game was not in doubt. So, Carter Hart, 30 saves. JVR, a goal and an assist. Panthers lose their third in a row. You hate to see it. And now the Flyers at this point in that second wild card spot, tied for the top with Columbus. And all in all, in pretty good shape at this point. Washington loses, so things get a little bit more bunched up at the top of the Metropolitan Division. You got Pittsburgh banged up all over the place and making trades and doing things now tonight. It's going to be a fun, fun stretch down here for the Eastern Conference and the Metropolitan Division. Flyers at this point in control of their own destinies largely because they got a lot of Metropolitan Division foes still on their schedule. So lots of good stuff there. If you want to react to the game, we have wide open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Feels like it's been a while since I've spoken with the people. Feels like it's been quite some time. Or maybe it's just because of what's been going on with the teams, the various teams, right? We've been talking about the Eagles. Last time that we spoke, the big news was that the Eagles weren't hiring an offensive coordinator. And that has proven to be correct, largely. We've had two quarterbacks declared that they're going to reach free agency to, well, one, a surefire Hall of Famer, and one, I would say, a borderline to more than likely Hall of Famer in Phillip Rivers. Rivers and Tom Brady both hitting the free agent market. That, of course, led me to put out my quarterback projections for which teams were going to sign which quarterbacks. We got to get into that, because I got some good reaction on Twitter, and I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say about that. And also, of course, if you've been paying attention to sports talk radio at any point in the last 48 hours, it's been all about those Philadelphia 76ers and the Sixers versus the fans. Or is it, right? Because the perception has been, is it the Sixers, namely Al Horford, Joel Embiid, against the fans? Is it against the media? Is it against internal locker room strife? Got all this kind of stuff that we've got to get into, and I have thoughts. I have thoughts on all of this. And, of course, it does start out with the Philadelphia Flyers and their home victory over the Florida Panthers. You were there. You want to react. You know how to join. 610-632-0975. Can also reach out on Twitter, at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Rabick is producing tonight's program. You can catch up with Josh at Josh Rabick on Twitter. Lots and lots to cover, obviously, and we've got some time to do it here. We're hanging out until midnight, so we'll have the opportunity to make this happen. Let's get to the phones to start things off, because I want to hear from the people who were there, what the return of Carter Hart was like, and where the Flyers kind of go from here, based on the way they were playing tonight. We'll start off with Joe in Delco on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Joe.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
So I got one thing to say. So honestly, like, hockey is not my favorite sport. I'm bringing it off of the bat. However, the way the Flyers are playing, the energy they're bringing to the game, this just everything they're doing is making me want to watch hockey more. And it's crazy coming from a guy that doesn't like hockey. Like, it's not like I don't like hockey. It's not, you know, you do this basketball, football, baseball, everything. Hockey's the last one that's all
it. Sure. Now, Joe, is that because of the sport itself? Is it because of the Flyers? Why is that?
I want to say it's a little bit of the sport itself. You know, it's like I grew up in the Flair days. I'm 24 years old. So I grew up in early Flyers where they were just bullies. They were just bullies with Richards, JVR, early JVR.
Sure.
So the way the Flyers are playing now is like a team I've never seen before with the Flyers. They are playing so well right now, and I'm just shocked that they have a chance to do something themselves. Like, they're like the Blues. I'm not going to say they're the Blues of last year. Like, St. Louis Blues came out of nowhere. They came out of absolutely nowhere.
Sure.
And won the Cup. But they almost got that mentality of what the Blues had. They're running things. They're doing what they got to do, and they're playing with a lot of heart, and that's what Philly's about. Philly is playing with your heart, and that's what I'm loving about these Flyers right now. Like, they're playing with their heart. They're going out there. They're giving 100%, and that's what I love to see. Yes, we might lose, whatever it be, 4-2, 3-2, whatever. But we won tonight. We beat the pants off the Caps. And the day before, we lost. But, however, we're playing good hockey.
And well, I agree. And, Joe, you hit on something, too. And thanks for the phone call, brother. Way to lead us off strong. You hit on something that I've talked to Josh about. I've talked to a lot of hockey heads around the station about this. That this, in particular, this year's version of the Flyers differs from every other version of the Flyers that you've seen in a couple of really important ways. Number one, Joe hit on, is that this team is just about as far as you can get from, like, the Broad Street Bullies, like, thugs style of hockey that we're used to, as you can possibly get. There's a lot of speed. There's a lot of skill. You've got a lot of young guys who are guys that you'd want to protect from that kind of play rather than, you know, try to go out and take a pound of flesh, right? And then, of course, the other incredibly important difference is that you've got the most important position in team sports solidified in Carter Hart, and they've never had a goalie before. For someone who's 24 years old, you've been watching the Flyers, they've never had a goalie. Not in the entire time that you've been alive have they had a goalie that you could really count on. Now, this year, you've had Carter Hart banged up. Last year, you kind of saw him run into the wall a little bit near the end of last season. But it's games like tonight, where you win 4-1 and Hart makes 30 saves, where you can see and it's like, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is the way that the game is supposed to be played, and this is what a team composition is supposed to be. So that gives me the confidence, at least moving forward, regardless of what happens this year, right? Because you've got the Metropolitan Division as tight as it can possibly be, right? I don't know about you guys, but for the hockey fans out there, I have no clue how long Washington can keep doing what Washington's doing. With no salary cap space, no prospects to speak of. Like, their championship window is right now. Coincidentally enough, same thing with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They just made a move where you're sacrificing two big picks of the future in a first-round pick and their top prospect in order to get a guy for 3.5 more years from Minnesota. They believe that that's what the window is. The Flyers have better long-term prospects than any of those teams. So that leads me to believe that that is healthy for the long-term outlook. What other teams are doing, and also what the Flyers have done. Plus, in terms of getting the right coach in there, getting the right scheme in there, and it seems like the mix of players has been proper as well. Are they perfect? No, and again, win every game? No, they're not. I wouldn't even say that they're one of the powers of the Metropolitan Division. However, I have to say, to hit on the other half of Joe's call, you'd put the Flyers at no better than middle of the pack in the city in terms of relative talent to the rest of the teams in their sports, right? But in terms of taking on the identity of the city, They're all about it. And Josh Rabick points out, entering tonight, over 40% of the Flyers' scoring has come from players 25 and under. That is a youthful core, to be sure. Chris on the cell is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Awesome. How are you?
Very good. I'm coming home from the game with my daughter, Jill.
Nice.
And I got to tell you, man, a very solid effort by the Flyers tonight. Carter Hart, like, side to side in the first 5 minutes, looked like, little rusty, and then jumped right on his game, which we were like, listen, this kid is really solid, And as far as the Flyers go, I mean, people don't give him enough credit. My opinion is they don't give him enough credit. When we're playing the best teams in hockey and our top line goes against their top line and our top defense goes against their top offense, we don't get the same production as a lot of teams. But then all of a sudden our third and fourth line step
right
up and they're scoring goals. And I'm like, I said to my daughter, I'm like, listen, I grew up, I got to watch the Flyers win two Stanley Cups. And like you just said, like, it's been a really long time since we've had a goaltender. This kid's for real, man. And it's so nice to see a team be able to go out there and play and take chances knowing that their goaltender is going to come up with some big saves for them and you're going to give one up every once in a while. But I'll tell you what, man, that's like this year compared to the last whatever years, is unbelievable to be able to watch the Flyers actually go out and play some offensive hockey.
Well, I mean, and we're not used to it, Chris. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Get home safely. It's terrible out there, weather-wise. But you're right. Like, this has been the closest thing to what you'd project as, like, a non-fool's gold run for the Flyers as there's been in years, right? Like, there have been times... Well, I mean, you don't have to think that long ago when the Flyers went on a 10-game win streak followed by like a 10-game losing streak in the same season, right? Like, you don't have to go that far back to wonder, like, is this sustainable what the Flyers are doing? I would much rather watch the Flyers play like this, where there's consistency night in and night out, not necessarily from a performance standpoint, but from a what they are doing standpoint. And then you gradually see the execution raise over and over and over again, whether you're adding infusions of talent or you're watching players get more comfortable with their pairings or their lines or whatever it is. Like, I think that this is much more believable in terms of, the long-term growth of the team than anything that they've done here in recent history. Part of it's getting the right coach in place. A big chunk of it, as far as I'm concerned, is putting Carter Hart in between the pipes and having him be your starting goalie. Now, having him come back from injury, natural to see him get a little bit rusty to start out and then gradually lock in over the course of the game. That's exactly what happened. Give up one goal to begin, no goals the rest of the way, no harm, no foul, and everything's good. And then, of course, you see the infusion of young talent, plus what's on the way, right? Like, you still see some players who are not with the Flyers yet that are going to be making big-time impacts. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. And in a time, and it's kind of fitting, actually, that the conversation turned this way. This has been a team, the Flyers, that have taken on the identity of the city better than, I would argue, any of the other three teams at this point. It's not true of the Eagles of 2 years ago. It is true of the Eagles right now. It's true of the Sixers, certainly, if the recent brouhahas have been any indication. And then the do whatever it takes at any cost to win while you're watching the Phillies go to arbitration with JT Realmuto over like $2.4 million of baseball money, which is less than literally any other sport that could exist. It's less than basketball money. It's less than football money. And it is way less than hockey money. $2.4 million in hockey, you're talking about, what, Josh, conservatively, two tiers of player? Like, if you're talking about paying one guy $2.4 million more than the next guy, that guy might be two tiers up. Baseball, maybe one tier? All right, I'll go with one and a half. JT Realmuto, you're talking about, and baseball's monopoly money. Going to arbitration there, trying to save those pennies. I don't know. I think you watch the way that the Flyers have conducted themselves, and it lines up a little bit better with the way that, well, we would like to think that we would run things. Contrast that with the Sixers and the way that things have gone recently, and this is all the discussion earlier today. And I read the Marcus Hayes article on the Inquirer talking about Joel Embiid and whether he's been a villain the whole time, you know, whether he's been a phony this entire time, and he's been acting like a certain way and not being the other way. You've got Jimmy Butler openly courting him and inviting him to Miami. You got the shushing, both from Al Horford and Joel Embiid. It was really awesome, by the way. Total alpha move by Al Horford to shush the fans and then follow that up with a 0 point performance. That was like really, really, you showed us, dude. That was really, really big time. That was super cool. I don't know. It seems like things aren't right. You know, there's somebody in my life who is at the crossroads. They're thinking, it sounds crazy, but a lot of people get this way. If you're in a relationship for too long, it's time to either get engaged or break up. And it seems like ridiculous that it could possibly come to that, but it does, right? And the discussion that I had was, I don't know if it's even possible to talk yourself into wanting to get engaged to somebody if you've been with them for a long time. Like, you either do or you don't. And if you don't, then I don't know if you're going to grow into it, right? We're not even at the point yet where the Sixers have made the finals and lost, or made the Eastern Conference finals and lost. We're not even at the, like, kind of tinkering and tweaking point. We're still at the, I would argue, second stage of building the Sixers, if you're trying to build them into a championship contender. And you've got two big pieces, literally and figuratively, in terms of their contracts and their stature, already displeased with the way that things have been going in the recent going. And the feeling's mutual, by the way, because a lot of people have not been happy with the way that the team has been playing, that Embiid's been playing, that Horford's been playing. And it just made me think, like, this is supposed to be the honeymoon period, isn't it? Like, not necessarily for Embiid, he's been around the block, but certainly for Horford and the Sixers and the way that everything's gone with them over the course of the last, well, 3 or 4 months, certainly, but even from the start of the season. My question is, how much of this is overblown? How much of this is a media creation versus how you really feel about the team? Because if you read the newspapers, or you read the articles online, or you checked out the blogs, the idea is that it's like the team versus the fans. The fans versus the team. And it struck me as odd because, you know, that's not a relationship that we've seen for quite some time. But, like, booing and shushing and all that other kind of stuff. Meanwhile, while you're playing against the likes of the Memphis Grizzlies and the Chicago Bulls, it just strikes me as dysfunctional relative to the way that, say, the Flyers, while not as universally embraced across the city as the Sixers are, I would say within the Flyers fan base, there's almost unanimous approval of the way that the season has gone so far. Not only that, but the way that the team is playing, the way that the players are operating, the way that the coach is coaching. Like, not everything's perfect. But don't ask a Flyers fan about that, because what is there to complain about at this point? I feel like it's a much healthier relationship than it's been in the past, and the Sixers' relationship with the fan base, which traditionally has been among the strongest in the city, second only to the Eagles, I would argue, it seems to be deteriorating a little bit before our eyes. Winning cures everything. In particular, you get a couple of wins on the road, then people start turning things back around. But I've got to admit, if we're looking at, like, approval ratings for the teams, among their constituents and among their respective fan bases, I would think that the Flyers by far have the largest approval rating, the highest approval rating at this point of any of the four teams in terms of what they've done so far. 610-632-0975. Is that true? Where do you come down on it? Which team for you has your highest approval rating of the Eagles, of the Phillies, of the Sixers, and the Flyers? Because the truth is, there are lots of different ways that you can define that sort of thing. Where are you according to your plan? Where are you relative to the rest of the league? It's a sliding scale. There's a lot of different standards here. So I just want to know where you come down. Brian in Marlton's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hello. Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Awesome. How are you?
Good. So my son and I, we're coming back from the game right now to Marlton, and I got to give a shout-out to my son's ice hockey team. He plays for Flyers Youth, right? And the one thing that coaches always say to the kids and steps and says, listen, stay away from the drama. Just show up and play hockey, right?
Smart advice.
When Frost took those cross checks and he was just trying to get him into, like, you know, into a rumble near the crease there, he just turned him and smiled at him and said, listen, you know, I gave him that look like, listen, I'm here to play hockey. I'm not going to deal with your crap. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to deal with it now. You're not going to draw a penalty off me. I'm here to play hockey. I'm here to win this game.
Absolutely.
And when these guys are doing that, they're really setting the stage for, like, our younger kids. Say, like, you know, hockey's not all about just fighting and being brutal out on the ice. It's about strategic planning and that chess match, you know, and it really sets the right example.
Well, it does make you wonder, Brian, like, has this region or this city been behind on that? Because it seems like the rest of the league has embraced it really over the last 5 years or so, 7 years certainly, and the Flyers have been kind of late to the party, and now that they are kind of embracing the way the rest of the league is playing, you're seeing the results kind of following right behind.
Yeah, I think the thing is that, like, you know, when that whole thing with Wayne Simmonds went down, that he broke his hand when he punched somebody in the helmet.
Right.
You know, and the NHL is spending millions of dollars on these guys to play hockey, and they're beating the hell out of each other's helmets and breaking bones. You know, it's like, you know, like, they started putting the mark on it, saying, listen, you know, we got to back off on the fighting a little bit. You know, we got to play more of the sport. You know, and then it just kind of, like, took off into a whole new attitude. You know, coming from your example of saying, you know, what team in Philadelphia has the most character, I got to give it to the Flyers. I mean, they never, like, you never see these guys, like, you know, just, you don't really get a lot of showboating. And, like, I'm not saying anything bad, but I'm just saying, like, it's just, you know, they play the game and they get it done. That's just about it, you know?
Yeah, they kind of go about their business, Brian. You're right about that. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it tonight. Hope you and your son get home safely. You know, Josh, I always thought that was fascinating, like, the etiquette of hockey fights, because I think that there are some that were just pure emotion, right? Which, as far as I'm concerned, in those, all bets were kind of off. Like, I didn't think that there were rules for how you should do things. I always thought it was kind of scummy when people had conversations about fighting and they were going to go ahead and fight, and neither one of them takes off the helmet. If you're going to fight somebody, you should both take off your helmets.
Well, yeah, that and the pre-planned stuff where you see the tap of the stick and, like you said, the conversation, it's just too orchestrated.
Yeah. But it's largely out of the game now. Not completely, but it really is largely out of the game. No one now today is going to fall in love with hockey because there's fighting in it, the way that people did in the 80s and the 90s and even back to the 70s, where it's like, yeah, you know, I learned more about hockey, but the first thing that attracted me to it was two people beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, and you have to, because think about when there's a brawl in basketball or baseball, everyone's gasping and it's this black eye on the sport, and really to appeal to the masses of the fans, because it is the number four sport of the four major sports, you got to find a way to appeal to everybody.
Yeah, there's no doubt. No doubt. 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. Paul Arch tweets in, 1, Eagles, 2A, Phillies, 2B, Sixers, 4, Flyers. Still has the Flyers in last place in terms of approval rating. I don't know, man. I'm generally disgruntled with everything that the Eagles have done since the Super Bowl. Just generally displeased with it. And I really didn't like the Sixers offseason plan from Jump Street. So the fact that, like, color me shocked that things have played out this way. Like, no, I didn't like the moves to begin with. So if I'm looking at what kind of job you've done, I don't approve of what the Eagles or the Sixers have done.
And think about the Phillies. You hear the term stupid money.
Correct.
And we're going into a season where you have zero expectations of this team making the playoffs.
Zach Wheeler, baby. $2.4 million, JT Realmuto. Now that's going to get worked out, whatever. Who cares? But you're right. I've got to say, like, it seems like, now, sounds crazy. You're 1 year into a 13-year contract with Bryce Harper, okay? This is not full-on overreaction mode. It seems like the big purchase that you make, you're like, all right, get off my back. We'll buy the couch. You know what I mean? And you buy the couch, but you don't buy anything else to create the dream living room that she's dreaming of. Or like redoing the rest of the house or what? Just fine. You know what? You've been complaining about us having all this money and never spending it. Here's Bryce Harper. It's like, well, do you think that it's about buying an expensive player? Or is it about fielding a competitive team and spending like you're a big market team to try to acquire top tier talent? I mean, this city should have been furious. Thank goodness for the Sixers. But when the Mookie Betts news came over, this city should have been outraged by everything that happened in the run-up, the lead-up to it. There are snags and deals that are getting worked through, whatever. I mean, those are the moves where if you're trying to push all your chips into the center of the table, that's what it looks like.
And I thought it was smart them not going into the luxury tax last season. Everyone says, oh, who cares about it? The luxury tax is a big deal come year three, year four. Even with the big market teams like we saw with the Yankees and Red Sox in the past, I was fine with that. But this offseason, this is when you start making the moves and you go into the luxury tax.
Haven't seen it, though. And that's the frustrating part. Meanwhile, look, Flyers didn't land Taylor Hall. I'm sure Zucker's going to be a nice player for the Penguins. They didn't get Zucker. Like, they haven't gone swinging for the fences in terms of acquiring these people. So I'm not trying to say that the Flyers are pushing their chips all in. I'm saying relative to what we expect the Flyers to do, they're on track way better than anybody else. Way better than the Phillies, who I have in third place, by the way, in terms of my rage rankings. Because the Eagles and Sixers are tied at the top relative to what I thought they would do. And what they have done. Like that, it's insane to me.
Well, you remember a few weeks ago when I reacted weird to somebody giving criticism to Ron Hextall, and the exact reason why was the infrastructure he built with the Flyers. The
sure.
Flyers, all the scoring they've had with players 25 years and younger, then think about obviously Lindblom, bigger than hockey, you lose your leading scorer at that time. Nolan Patrick hasn't played a single second. You factor in Konechny, Lawton, all these types of injuries you had throughout the season of guys that would have contributed to that. And then, oh yeah, the Flyers still, with all these players are up on the main roster, have the number 8th ranked farm system in all of hockey. They're set up for a long time.
Sure, absolutely. And you could have rushed, right? You could have pushed everybody up. But now you look back on it, you're like, why? Like, you look at the teams that the Penguins put together. It's like, were they going to compete with those teams? You look at the teams that the Capitals have put together recently. They're going to compete with those teams. I would argue, even the last couple of years, they're going to get by the Islanders in a playoff series. Like, there was no reason to push prospects into a spot where they weren't ready. And obviously, things are kind of on track at this point. Things are pretty good in terms of what the Flyers are going to look like a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And you're right, Ron Hextall deserves a good amount of credit for that. Even though this, I think that the thing that might have been the biggest issue, more than any of those guys, is Carter Hart. Like having to get Hart up earlier. I get that. I get the impatience.
And this should be a slam dunk playoff team right now, but the Metropolitan is historically great, and you have two teams in the Penguins and Capitals that as far as the regulars, forget about the playoff success and everything of those teams, as far as the regular season goes, over the last decade, they've been phenomenal. Even more than that, they're constantly at the top of the conference.
That's absolutely right. And Columbus has come kind of out of nowhere in the last 3 years, put it together. Carolina last 2 years has been a nice team. I don't know. I still think Flyers make the playoffs. I still think that they're definitely going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to catch those teams in front of them for good, because I would anticipate Washington keeping up their pace. Pittsburgh at some point is going to get healthy. You would think that that point production is going to accelerate. It's not out of the question that they face the Penguins in the first round, because I don't know how good the Islanders are. Like, the Islanders, I think, are starting to come back down to earth a little bit. They're only a point ahead of the Flyers at this point. Like, that's a realistic target by the end of the season.
And what's weird with the Islanders, too, is Beauvillier has really turned it on. He had two goals tonight, but he's one of those players that was drafted the same year, first round with Barzell, and you figured, all right, yeah, he might be a bottom six forward.
Right.
And you're kind of seeing a little bit of a resurgence this season, too. Yeah,
it's amazing how they the late bloomers kind of come around, right? Or even, like, the random bloomers. I've always thought of, like, David Perron as that, right? Like, where David Perron will have a two-year, like, jaw-dropping scoring pace, drop off the map for, like, 3 years, and then come back and he's doing the stuff that he's doing. Maybe he just needs to be playing for the Blues. Maybe that's all that needs to happen. All of his non-Blues years are bad. Let's go to Eric in Richboro next on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. So, yeah, the Flyers, obviously another big win tonight. Nice to see Carter Hart back in the goal. And for me, pretty serious 4-for-4. Watch like every game that I possibly can for every team.
Awesome.
And yeah, the Flyers have to have my number one rating, not only because they're overachieving. I remember when we signed Kevin Hayes in the beginning of the year, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, we just signed a mediocre player to a pretty big contract. And in hockey, that's a big deal with those big contracts.
Sure. Well, you can't get rid of them. They're guaranteed.
Not big to other sports, yeah. They're not big compared to basketball, but for hockey, he got a lot of money. And he's played great. Like, I can't complain about him. He's great power, great penalty kill guy, great 5-on-5 guy, offense, defense.
Sure.
I love it.
Yeah.
They have young guys that we can look forward to. Like, Morgan Frost hasn't been doing, like, that much. But I like to hear that he's on the ice. Abe Kubel, I think is his name. He just got called up pretty recently. But another person, like, I never even thought of hearing about some of these guys. And they just have life and energy. They're starting to play fast, and they're getting rid of that Broad Street bully mentality, and they're getting more skilled players. It's really nice to see.
I think that's an important part, Eric, and thanks for the phone call, of their growth. Is the embracing of the speed game that you've seen some of these other teams really lay out a blueprint for how you succeed and how you make it to the Stanley Cup final and how you dominate teams. Flyers have been able to do that. 610-632-0975. I'll get to your tweets in a matter of moments. We do have wide open phone lines. Which of the teams has your highest confidence relative to what you expected from them? For me, the Flyers are definitely number one. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Josh Rabick producing this evening's program, and he has put out a tweet from 97.5, The Fanatic's Twitter account. Which Philadelphia team has your highest approval rating? So far, we've got more than 300 votes already, and it's just over 5 minutes old. The Eagles with a narrow lead over the Flyers at 43.3% to 39.1%. Now, people might disagree with that. Let me explain this discrepancy. Most of Philadelphia liked the DeSean Jackson signing, like the move, a lot more than me. A lot more than me, right? So that's one. The re-signing Alshon Jeffrey after the Super Bowl year, most people really like that a lot more than me, right? So since the Super Bowl, there have been a couple of really big, the Brandon Graham signing for the money is something that I really, really didn't like. So there's a lot of moves that they've made where I've been like, that is garbage. And people are like, what are you talking about, Torti? So that explains that discrepancy, right? The Sixers and the Phillies are both below 10% in terms of which team has the highest approval rating. which is surprising to me because Real Muto Season tweets in, for me, right now, the Flyers, for Philly as a whole, the Sixers. I find it hard to believe that the Sixers have the highest approval rating so far. Just because they've disappointed relative to expectations. And you could argue that it's because of the moves that they made that they're in this position. Now, part of it is injury, right? Like, there's no doubt. But I'm surprised that anyone would have the Sixers with their highest approval rating right now. 610-632-0975. Josh, where do you come down on this? It was your poll. Surely you have some kind of order in mind.
Yeah, I have to start with the Flyers. I'm in complete agreement with you. And simply put, one of the other things is the depth on defense as well. Look back to previous playoff runs. Let's go back to 14 with the Rangers. You have Gill and Grossman as your two worst puck handling defensemen. They got absolutely exposed against the Rangers. Then against the Caps, the next go around in the playoffs, you essentially had Schultz and McDonald. You look at it now, Haig and Braun, I'd probably consider your two least comfortable puck handling defensemen. Obviously, those guys are both comfortable handling the puck, and that's a big reason why possession numbers have essentially led the Flyers to allow as little shots on net as they have this season. Number two, I agree with the Eagles, because you do have the quarterback at least in place, so there's always going to be that confidence there that the team's going to stay afloat at average to above average. Then you get to the Sixers, unfortunately, where they're at with that situation. When you have a star player and a potential superstar player, you think that you should be, at least in the Eastern Conference, at least representing the Eastern Conference Finals every year, and they haven't been. I will at least say management has done more to kind of give confidence for me than the Phillies, who I put last. If Jake Arrieta is your number three starter, you're in rough shape. He would have to go in a playoff game. You're not getting to the playoffs with that current rotation and with how old that bullpen is, which contributed to how banged up they got last year.
Contrast the Sixers to the Phillies through that lens, right? The Sixers, it hasn't worked out, but they told you what they were going to do. They were going to do bully ball offense and whatever defense. I can't remember what it was. Harden, I can't remember. But they built a team that looks like they were trying to beat you up. Whether it's worked or not, you know, whatever. At least they did what they said they were going to do. It's hard to say, you know, stupid money and stuff like that and, you know, time to take a step forward, blah, 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 and then watch the Phillies kind of execute the way that they have, right? So it's not just about results, but it's also, like I said, approval rating. What do you think of the job that they've done, understanding that sometimes things happen that are outside of your control, right? Like, for example, if you loved all of the Eagles' moves, I didn't, but if you did, then you looked at all of the injuries that they had this year, the Eagles could have a really high approval rating from you because you said, all right, you know what, I liked all of the moves. Injuries happen. Sometimes things just don't work out the way that you hope that they do. Hard for me to blame the Eagles for all of their players getting hurt. Turns out the Eagles blame the Eagles for a lot of their players getting hurt because they changed out medical staffs again. So, you know, maybe there's not a whole lot of merit to that thought either, but at least there you go. Don't know how you could have the Eagles that high. They brought back not only Jason Peters, but also Darren Sproles. But whatever. We'll just agree to disagree on some of these things. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5, The Fanatic. Okay. Mike Missinelli's burner account tweets in, Jesus, if you asked me this in September, I would have never thought I'd answer the Flyers. But I mean, hey, here we are, right?
Outright.
Well said, Mike. The Flyers, this is coming from Stacy. The Flyers have much more talent in the minors than the Eagles, Sixers, and Phillies. They also don't need to rely heavily on their star player Giroux as they're more balanced. Tough for me to compare hockey to the other sports that way because you've got lines and you've got matchups and things like that. Like, you're not watching every time Joel Embiid comes out on the floor, like a top defensive group out there designed to stop Embiid. You're not really seeing that.
And that's actually the best point. When you look at basketball and what wins championships, you look at your best players.
Yes.
You look at your star players. When you look at hockey, truthfully, your fourth line and your third pair of defensemen have a lot more say in winning a championship than you think.
You know, the teams that can play four win. The teams that can play four lines win, provided that they don't have a disaster at goalie, right? Like, that's the way that it goes. I have known the names of way too many goalies that are not good, but were just on teams that got hot at the right time. Like, by the way, this guy's gotten way better over the course of his career. But I'm in college watching, and I'm like, who the hell is Yaroslav Halak? Like, who in the world is this guy who's just crushing all of these teams? And then, you know, he gets injured, up and down performances the next couple of years. And with the Bruins, he's really found, like, a home. But there's a list of names the size of my arm of goalies that have done enough in the postseason to be good enough. Now, with the Flyers, you have Carter Hart, who's going to do more than just being good enough. And that feels good. Thus, the approval rating increasing. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Dylan Neal tweets in, Flyers holding their own in a really tough division. True. Beating some really good teams going to be hard out in the playoffs if they can get there, which, of course, is correct. 610-632-0975, your phone number to weigh in on this conversation. Let's go to George in Las Vegas on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. So my approval rating is going to be for the Flyers.
Okay.
One, because the Flyers have much more younger talent. Since they got rid of Ron Hextall, they brought up all their younger talent. I'm going to put number two, I'm going to go with the Phillies. I just think they did a couple acquisitions in the offseason. Number three, I'm going to go with the Eagles. And last but not least, I'm going with the Sixers. I think it's time for the Sixers to trade Joel Embiid. I hate to say it, but I got the perfect trade right here.
Okay.
Ship them off to Phoenix for DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker.
Oh, man.
Trade right there.
I don't know if I hate that trade so much, George. That's kind of an interesting trade.
I like that trade.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton is pretty good. Last night he had 28 points and 19 rebounds. Last game he played.
And, of course, we know that Booker's a bucket. That's not bad, George. I don't know if Phoenix would do that.
He's got to go. When you're putting your fans down, now you're taking pictures in Miami, like you want to play with the Heat, you're reaching out to Jimmy Butler. We got to go. We don't need that in Philadelphia. It's Ben Simmons' team.
So do you take that, George, as an insult to the fans, or do you think that that's more of, you know, something like what they were saying internal and talking to himself and stuff like that?
No. What's going on is the fans are tired of his shenanigans. And then so he gets tired of the fans booing because the fans are now seeing what's going on with Embiid all the time. And people are starting to see that he's probably the weak link on the team. Every time that he gets in the game, the Sixers play either close game or they barely winning. When they get him out of the game and they got Ben Simmons running the show, they start blowing teams out.
Well, George, they definitely play. Thanks for the phone call, man. They've played really well when Simmons has been in the lineup and Embiid's been out. Tough to replace a lot of things that Embiid does in terms of his defensive impact when he's healthy and in shape. Like, some of the dominant performances you see from Joel Embiid, you don't see from two or three other players in the NBA at that position, right? So hard for me to paint him as a bum and to say that he's the problem with the Sixers. However, I am willing to engage with the fact that there is a problem with the Sixers and that he might not be helping, right? I think that's as far as I'm willing to go right now. Because, I mean, you do win two more games at home against, you know, granted it's Memphis and Chicago. You're making up some ground, of course. And you're not far behind the Heat. There's still time to salvage this thing, I guess is what I'm saying. It's not like the wheels have completely fallen off, despite the fact that you haven't played up to expectations, preseason expectations at least. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. We'll be right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Seven five, The Fanatic.
In all of the excitement over the approval ratings for the teams, it's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Lost in the shuffle, I guess I wasn't here when we unofficially adopted the St. Louis Battlehawks as Philadelphia's XFL team. Now, is this true citywide, or is this just the station? I'm late to this party. So what happened here, Josh?
It started out as this station.
Okay.
And you know what? I think a movement happened.
Okay.
We put it out there, and I have a feeling Philadelphia is getting behind the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Well, beating Dallas helps. Like, I think that that's like a big first step in building any kind of relationship, right?
Yeah, when you started out in the XFL going through some of the cities, you're like, all right, well, there's the three NFC East cities that are represented, so you have to automatically cancel them out.
Right.
And you start looking through, you go, look. Let's go no further than the Show Me State, Missouri.
Get the Battlehawks. We were talking about this, the biggest difference in the XFL and the NFL and big-time college and stuff is definitely going to be quarterback play. Now, this is speaking as a goalie snob, as someone who proudly says that the goaltender is the most important position in any team sport. I'm fascinated by the quarterback position, and not for the reasons why, you know, everybody else is like, oh, wow, look at the stars, look at Brady and you know, all these other guys, right? It's not because of that. It's because who does everyone want to be? Everyone wants, if you play football, you probably at some point in your life wanted to be a quarterback, like the glamour position, right? It is the most attractive position, the most glory, everything else, right? Everyone wants to do it. Football is huge at the high school level, the college, so many opportunities to play quarterback, right? All you need are to find, at the highest level, 32 guys who can do this at an elite level. And there are like 15 guys in the world who can do it. There are 17 bad starting quarterbacks in the NFL. That amazes me. That is like in the NHL, right? There are probably like 20 really, really good goalies in the NHL. Where you have a top 20 goalie, you're like, all right, that guy's going to save you a lot of games. Everybody in America, every red-blooded American male wants to play quarterback. And you can't find 32 to fill out the highest league in all the land. That is amazing to me. That is the thing that just drops my jaw about quarterbacks. You ever think about that, Josh?
I do, but I also think it's a problem. You know where I stand on the quarterback, where I think it is by far the most important player on the field in football, but at the same time, it's also the most overrated because it's dependent on so many other positions clicking.
True.
And for example, look at Derek Carr. Derek Carr, one season, MVP caliber quarterback, and then obviously other seasons, you're questioning whether he's even a starter in the NFL. I think there's so many quarterbacks in the league that you put a great offensive line, an effective run game, you know, the genius offensive coordinator around him, weapons, all that type of stuff.
Right.
And you can make them look like a top 15 quarterback.
Like Nick Foles?
Hey, you said it.
I'm just saying. Lance in Arizona is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Lance.
Hey, Joe. So I would say the Flyers, but I look at the Flyers this way. I don't think they're a Stanley Cup contender. They're kind of in this. They have better young talent right now than any of those teams that in the future you think that they're going to get to where they need to go, but they're in the same spot they really have been the last couple years. They're just more consistent this year than they have been in the previous years where they win 10 games in a row and then lose 10 games in a row. So they really haven't done anything to be like, oh, man, they're the best team in this market, and they're going to be that. I think down the road you believe that because they're good young talent will get there. But to me, they're still a fringe playoff team. That's what they've been the last couple of years. That, like, since they went to the Stanley Cup, that's kind of been their trend. Even that year they went to the Stanley Cup, they were a fringe playoff team that made it in on the last day.
Sure. Well, I agree with that, Lance. But what I'm saying is that I think that they have some talent to go just in case you're trying to squeeze the last couple of years out of Giroux. It wouldn't be out of the question to see the team get hot and then have the veterans to support some kind of run in the event that happens while planning for that future that you're talking about. Is that fair?
I tend to somewhat agree. I think they got themselves into a couple of contracts that I think is going to hinder them
okay.
in a year or two where they're not going to really want to be in those contracts. Like, JVR and Jake Voracek, they still have 3-4 years left, and I don't think either one of them are worth the money that they're paying. Like, you could have saved the money and just paid it to John Tavares and had him along with Claude Giroux, and you're going to be on fire with your top line which I think would then be good enough to match all those other teams that are Stanley Cup contenders because you have two legit superstars. Instead, now you just have a bunch of depth, which is fine, but I think you could have developed guys like a JVR and like a Kevin Hayes and used the money elsewhere depending on Tavares. Now, with the Sixers, I look at it this way. Their front office is screwed up so many damn times that they're put themselves in this position because the only way the Sixers were ever going to win the title is if Embiid and Simmons get to where they need to go and their ceiling and you surrounded them with a team that fit them and was good enough. Like, if you trade one of those guys away, Philadelphia history has shown you when you trade a superstar away, you aren't going to get the return that you think you're going to get, and it's not going to work out well for you, so you better hope that those two guys reach it, and then Elton Brand can do something with this roster where he can trade some guys and bring some guys that fit better in, because trading those guys, you're going to wind up hurting yourself more than helping yourself.
Well, right, and the obvious, and Lance, thanks, man, appreciate it. The easiest solution for everybody involved is if the talent starts playing up to its potential, right? Like, you see Embiid and Simmons doing all of the things that people fantasize about them doing on a nightly basis, right? So I get that completely. I'm not sure that I agree about the Jake Voracek and JVR contracts, only as in so much as I think that they're tradable if you waive no trade clauses and stuff like that, because contracts keep going up in the NHL. So they look like tough contracts now. And let's be fair, the JVR contract, not a good contract by like any metric, okay? At least you're getting some production from him now, and then in the event that, say, in the next couple of years, a contender comes a-calling, it's possible. It's possible that you could swing some kind of deal. I felt that way about the Jake Voracek deal for quite some time. With respect to who they should have gone after, this is just a hunch. This is not interior reporting or anything like that. I find it hard to believe that Stamkos and Tavares could be close to free agency and the Flyers weren't at least seeing what was up. Like, I find it very hard to believe that those guys could approach free agency and Philadelphia is just sitting back on their hands when they had the money to spend and everything else. Tavares, it turns out, was only going to do the Islanders or the Maple Leafs anyway, and there was no one else in it. Stamkos, it turns out, there was never anyone else in it, right? Like, that was the way that both of those turned out. So it's hard for me to crush the Flyers for not landing, you know, a megastar center, because I believe that if there was a way to do it, they're at least in the conversation. It's not a report, but just based on what I know about the Flyers and the way that they want to conduct their business, I mean, you tell me, like, you know, they're in on end of career Vincent LeCavalier. You don't think that they'd be in on, like, you know, borderline prime Tavares and Stamkos?
You factor that in, Briz, McDonald, some of these horrible contracts. Those two contracts are better than that. I think the Voracek one is worse because he was on your team and you extended him with that. And I think when that step goes, which is coming soon, you're going to see a huge dip in Voracek's play. But so much of this talent on the Flyers team is homegrown, and that's where you get the discounts. I think in a year or two, we're going to look at Provorov and Konechny's contracts and say they might be top five contracts in all of hockey.
Really? I mean, you got one of those already. Like, the Sean Couturier contract is delicious. That is a fantastic contract, and any team in the NHL would love it. Flyers did a good job there. Some other bad jobs, as Lance points out. Some less than great. All right. But as you point out, you had to pay JVR to get him to come. Probably didn't have to pay Voracek to get him to stay. 610-632-0975. Coming up, something completely different. Put out a tweet. Got some reactions. We're going to talk about it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Rabick producing. We're hanging out together until midnight. Going to take a quick pivot here. I've appreciated all of the phone calls and the Twitter feedback to our first hour of the program. But I've also gotten some good responses as well to a tweet that I put out right around 2 o'clock this afternoon, inspired by the fact that it continues to be news that, one, the Chargers announced this afternoon that Philip Rivers will be headed to free agency and effectively will not be coming back. And I love the statement, right? I love the statement that comes out afterwards. It's like, Philip Rivers is still a top-level quarterback in this league. Don't worry, he's not good enough for us, but like somebody's going to love him. It's going to be great. Tom Brady, obviously, if you don't know, Tom Brady can be an unrestricted free agent, and I mean truly unrestricted, in that there's a provision in his contract where the franchise tag cannot be applied to Tom Brady. So he is truly an unrestricted free agent. So I was trying to put together where the quarterbacks are going to end up, because I do believe that this offseason is going to have the most quarterback turnover of any offseason that I can remember. For one, because Tom Brady never becomes a free agent. And two, because that quarterback class of 2004 has been locked in place for so long. You think about, you know, a 32-team league. When four quarterbacks are locked into place for 15 years, there's not a ton of movement, especially when those teams are pretty good, right? I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of movement, especially because also the Mariota-Winston class will be on the move this offseason. Okay, so here's what I put out there for predictions, okay? Chargers, no Philip Rivers, Tom Brady. I've said from the beginning, I think this makes the most sense. I think that the West Coast, homecoming for Brady makes sense for him, especially because it's not going to impact your kids' lives. Like, I don't think so. I think that when you reach that level, you've been doing it this long, you've got Giselle taking care of things as well. I think it's just not going to be a huge Brady life interruption for him to play for the Chargers. Why does it make sense for the Chargers? Does it mean that I think that Tom Brady has a lot left in the tank? I've pivoted on this. Before last season, when I watched Tom Brady's age 41 season, I said that I think Tom Brady will get sick of playing football before he can. Like, I legitimately was thinking to myself, you know what? He's adding stuff to his game. He's moving around in the pocket. His arm strength still looks good. He could be 50 years old playing quarterback, but he won't want to by that time. He'll want to walk away. Last year was tough. Last year was a tough Tom Brady year. I don't think that he's going to be an elite level or dominant quarterback. However, I don't think that it matters to the Chargers. I think that once you were playing in the soccer stadium, you were kind of the laughing stock of the league in terms of your home field advantage. Pat Callahan, my colleague on This Week in Pro Football, said that they played 16 road games, which is, of course, true. Everybody would want to come to L.A., come check it out. Hey, I watch my team play the Chargers, and they're outnumbered every single game. They're going to silent counts in home games. It's embarrassing, right? I think that you need to move tickets. You need to sell merchandise. You need to do a lot of things. Tom Brady does all that. Does all of it for you. I think that's essential for the Chargers. Let's go in order. That means the Patriots have an opening, right? And here is the one that has been the least popular with people. I think Marcus Mariota has a good chance of winding up in New England. I'm not sure as being the outright starter or not. He could be in a competition. What I know is that they like Jacoby Brissett as potentially a quarterback of their future. They liked him when they drafted him and everything else, right? Mariota does, his strengths are similar to a lot of the strengths that Brissett has, plus mobility, ability to use the play action. Now, I think Brissett diagnoses defenses better than Mariota. I think that's been the biggest drop off. Where talking about this with my dad earlier today, who was a massive Mariota fan coming out of college, said the difference is at Oregon had utter complete command of the field and understood every single element of Oregon's offense and the way to play the college game. That is really not translated. The decision-making has not been there for Mariota. However, I anticipate that the game plan is going to be kind of simple when it comes to playing offense in New England minus Tom Brady. You know that you're always going to be starting kind of at square one. So that's where I have Mariota there. I saw reports today, Ryan Tannehill's not going anywhere, that he and Tennessee will be continuing their partnership. So if that's the case, I'll just be operating under that assumption for now. Cam Newton out in Carolina likely, right? In comes Philip Rivers. I know that people have pointed out that he's moved to Florida, but I don't think that that is a huge commute when the family's been living in Florida. There's only so much that you can do. Is he going to be in Miami? Is he going to be in Tampa Bay? We'll get to that in just a second. I'd anticipate that the Carolina Panthers are interested in Philip Rivers at the very least as a transitional piece. Not far away from family and a pretty decent situation, even with a new head coach. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Cam Newton. I'd anticipate that Newton will be well-received by someone who's in the same division. We've seen this before where divisional opponents are like, if I could just get my hands on the other guy's quarterback, we've watched him hurt us up close and personal. Bruce Arians has traditionally been a guy who likes the tools that Cam Newton has, right? The quarterback that I always compared Jameis Winston to, I said if Jameis Winston tops out, he could be Ben Roethlisberger. They have a similar size, similar way that they play the game, even similar flaws in terms of hanging on to the ball and looking to make the deep pass and that sort of stuff, right? Cam Newton's kind of been that way as well. Newton much more of a pure runner earlier on in his career than either of those guys, but I would anticipate that the size, speed, arm strength combination is really interesting to Bruce Arians. That's why I'm the Bucks there. And that, of course, brings us to the team on the left coast we haven't mentioned. Where's Jameis Winston going to go? The Oakland Raiders. I would anticipate that Derek Carr's time is done. You can hear him now. If you really close your eyes and listen, you can hear John Gruden and Mike Mayock both gushing over Jameis Winston and how good Jameis Winston's going to be in the pros. You heard them talk about it during the draft. You know that there's a possibility that they would love to get their hands on Jameis Winston. So there you go. That is the quarterback carousel. There are some other names that have come up. Now, Josh, I know that you like some of this. What do you disagree with here in this list? How do you feel about this?
I can see Rivers going to the Bucs over Newton. It seems like a natural kind of plug and fit at this time right now. I think the Bucs and the Chargers are very similar as far as when you look at some of the weapons on the offense as well.
Yep.
So I can see that being a natural fit. I'm not even disagreeing with this one. I'm just intrigued with New England's choice because trying to get in the head of Bill Belichick, that's one heck of a trip there. I will say I think it's going to be between Mariota and Winston. And either
really?
One, yeah, I think it's Newton's a little too old, I think, of what Belichick would be looking for. Winston and Mariota have just enough seasoning, but still young enough that I think he could see a future with one of them. I'm just intrigued of which one he thinks fits better into that offense.
So here's what I'm thinking, and here's why I leaned Mariota there. I tried to put on my Belichick cap, right? I said, all right, you don't have Tom Brady anymore. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to put together the most beastly team that I possibly can, defensively, offensively, things like that, right? To the point where I just need a quarterback who won't wreck it. First of all, I've got Jameis Winston has way more ability to wreck it than Marcus Mariota does. Marcus Mariota, at his worst, doesn't get anything done. We've seen that, right? Like, just the offense doesn't move. Jameis Winston, at his worst, wrecks it. Like, we've seen that before. If I were putting together that team, I would say, what do I need my quarterback to be able to do? Complete short passes, which is something that Mariota historically has been able to do, and run on third and four. Like, those are things that I would want my quarterback to do in this offense. So that's why I lean towards Mariota. I could totally see it with Winston, especially because, look, you're going to laugh. People who cover draft prospects and have interviewed guys and stuff like that, people who I've spoken to who are familiar with Jameis Winston today say he's still a supercomputer. Like, the way that he processes football information is ridiculous and that it doesn't make any sense why it doesn't come out on the field. If that's intriguing to a guy like Belichick, I could totally 100% see that.
Yeah, Winston in college, his intermediate passing game, the anticipation, some of the throws, you can tell because you've watched a lot of college football over the years. There's certain guys that you're like, oh, that's an NFL throw there. And he had a lot of anticipatory throws in college that it doesn't match up with me because I think a short intermediate game would work out so well for Jameis Winston, yet he had so many pieces of the puzzle with Tampa Bay that would support that type of game.
Right.
Yet he still threw 30-plus picks last year.
30-30 club, baby. So, a couple other names that have come up. Where does Dak Prescott go? I would anticipate the Dak stays in Dallas. Like, I think that that is more likely than I think that, quite honestly, I think that that's better for everyone. I think it's better for Dallas. I think it's better for Dak. I don't think either are as valuable without the other. I think that that's something that should be worked out. Don't know if it will. People have tweeted in, like Pat Callahan at TWIPF Pat, still can't see the Patriots letting TB12 walk. They have a choice. Now, here's what somebody tweeted in. At White G6. Why don't the Chargers draft them a young quarterback? They should have got rid of Phillip Rivers like 5 years ago. Chargers should draft a young quarterback. Look at the Chiefs and Ravens and Texans. Chargers should do that instead of going with these over-the-hill quarterbacks. Okay, fair enough. Where do the Chargers pick this year? I don't know it off the top of my head. So let's take a look. NFL draft order in 2020. The Chargers are picking sixth. Okay? There's a great chance that they take a guy like Justin Herbert from Oregon and just have him move down from Eugene to Los Angeles. Justin Herbert is not ready to go, right? So you can still do the Brady thing, not knowing how long you're going to do it, understanding all of the other value that you have to add, selling tickets, mentoring a young, who could be better at mentoring a young quarterback, merchandise sales, buzz, interest, all of these other things. Like, you're going to be playing in the Rams stadium next year. You need to find a way to make it your own. That's why the Tom Brady thing goes beyond what he can do on the field. And that's why I think it's likely. Also, if you're working on training up a young quarterback, you don't care how good you are next year anyway. It doesn't make that big of a difference to you. So if you win 11 games with Tom Brady in the AFC West, think about the success story that you're able to paint there. And you can because your defense is freakishly good when everybody's healthy. You got Joey Bosa, who might be the best defensive end, period. You've got Derwin James, who might be the best defensive player, period. Like, you've got a lot of stuff there in Los Angeles that could work.
There's absolutely no chance you could play Herbert, too, if you draft him. There, I promise you, if you play him in that first season, it will look something like DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, just a guy who's like, oh, I could see why you would think that, but totally not ready.
Yeah, if 100%. You created a quarterback in the lab, it looks like Herbert. But at the same time, you watch him play and you go, this is a guy that just fully doesn't get the quarterback position yet.
So to answer the question, Chargers could totally draft a young quarterback, but they're not going to compete right away anyway. So you might as well get a guy that you can develop, get Brady there, et cetera, et cetera. Jack tweets in. Mariota to the Pats. What have you been smoking? Where are you getting this? I don't think any of these predictions happen. I like those predictions. That's good. I like the your alternative predictions. That's good, Jack. Thank you. Where do they come from? A crystal ball. None of us have any idea.
I'm much better at getting high than getting low.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Now, Milo Pembrel tweets in, Jones wants Dak or Brady. I don't believe that it's going to be Brady. I know that there are some national pundits who are saying that that makes sense, and I understand their reasoning for it. I just don't think so. No, I don't think that that's going to be it. What about Drew Brees, says Charles? Well, we got to talk about the New Orleans situation, right? Number one, Drew Brees is going to be their starting quarterback again next year. Like, that is, you can, sun's going to rise in the east, set in the west, and Drew Brees is going to be the Saints' starting quarterback until he's dead. That is 100% the truth. Or if not dead, retiring, walking off, right? Teddy Bridgewater, not a starting quarterback in the NFL. I know a lot of people like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I hope after all of the injuries that he's gone through that he puts together a really successful career. I don't see it. Taysom Hill, a lot of people don't know this. 30 years old. Taysom Hill is not like this developmental, like young, oh man, wait until this guy grows into something. He's 30. You're me talking right now? I'm 30. If you're thinking of me as like a developmental kid, okay, fine. Everything's relative. But Taysom Hill's my age. Also, as somebody pointed out, I think Mohamed Sanu has like a much, much better passer rating, completion percentage, and touchdown ratio to Taysom Hill.
That's a big-time stub, bro.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm intrigued by it. Don't get me wrong. I'm intrigued by it. I think everything's cool that New Orleans can bring to the table, right? Having Bridgewater come in, having Taysom Hill throw passes, having him line up all over the field. He's not like this waiting in the wings guy who's going to be like... Like, if you put him in Tennessee, I don't think that team's great. Like, I think that he's decisively worse than Ryan Tannehill at playing quarterback. But it's super cool when he's like a Swiss Army knife character and you can do stuff that way. Rick Leader tweets in, Rivers to the Colts makes the most sense. I agree. Makes a ton of sense. Rivers to the Colts does make a ton of sense. I don't know if that will happen. I know that there's the Frank Reich connection with Philip Rivers. It does make sense. I would buy it. He's kind of jumping back and forth over his team. He moved to Florida. Now you're an NFL player, right? Phillip Rivers is used to the commute. He commuted from San Diego to Los Angeles every day to do stuff, right? So I get that. But there you go. 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. I really like someone who describes themselves as a sports slash battle rap blogger telling me that none of my predictions will come true. I'm throwing stuff into the wind. We're trying to figure out what makes sense. This is not a report. It says predictions.
You're also not predicting that Phillip Rivers is going to the Tampa Bay Vipers.
Which I'd be in.
They could use a quarterback.
I mean, you talk about elevating the quarterback play. Dude, what if that's it? No, I'm serious. Like, what if, you know how, it sounds like I'm joking. I'm not. You know how, like, there are guys that are washed in, like, Serie A and Premier League and stuff like that, and then they come to MLS and make boatloads of money and just extend their careers forever because they're so much better than everybody else in the MLS, but they can't compete in those leagues? What if that's the answer?
It's a good connection you just made there because some of these XFL teams are playing in MLS stadiums.
See? It all comes full circle. I'm sorry. Serious question. Like, how much worse is, like, 37-year-old Phillip Rivers going to be than some of these other guys in the XFL? Just saying. That's super interesting. Kind of like that. Wow. Can't believe we put that together. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Somebody asked about Derek Carr. I would love to know what the league perception of Derek Carr is. I would love to know. Because like Josh said, obviously true, he has had such volatile perception, volatile stock, that it's crazy. Like, from going to, this guy's going to win the MVP next year, to, like, this guy's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, that is full-on amazing. So, the one that I brought up when somebody asked me, let me dig this out here. Where'd it go? I said I could see Derek Carr going to Indy for a competition or Tennessee as a backup. I could see that happening. Gotham tweets in, or it might be Gotham. Sorry, I'm not sure. Joe, I like your predictions, but let's be honest, when NFL history has had this much turnover happen, especially at the quarterback position, I just don't see it. However, if I may, I see Newton to the Pats if Brady goes, Rivers to Tampa, and I think Mariota's a backup. Entirely possible. The reason that I think that this much turnover is possible is because you've seen two teams let their quarterback get to unrestricted free agency that we thought were unlikely before, right? In Phillip Rivers, first of all, who both sides have seemed to say that it's not going to come together for them, and so he's going to be somewhere else, and it seems that he wants to play again. Then there's Tom Brady, who can't be franchised by the Patriots. So if he's on the move, like, what I'm saying is, if you're looking at starters, there's potentially four quarterbacks on the move right there, because you look at the two starting quarterbacks of the Patriots and the Chargers, they're going to have new starting quarterbacks. And wherever those two guys go, they'll be the new starter. So it seems like it's a ton of turnover, right? But really, it's just one other guy changing positions. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Why would the Panthers trade Cam to a division rival, says Zachary East 412. I'm not sure that they're going to keep him. I'm not sure that a trade is going to happen. Like, are you going to do that to, like, is he just going to sit on the bench? Now, it's a good question. It's totally worthwhile, but if the right trade is there, the right trade's there. Like the Eagles making a trade with Washington, if there's nothing left with Donovan McNabb, give him up. If they don't think that there's anything left with Cam, they would know better than anybody. Now, another person tweeted in about Cam going to the Bears, and I think that'd be fun. If there's anything left with Newton, I think that'd be an interesting, fun trade. Brady to Tennessee if he leaves New Orleans. He won't go to the West with Mahomes. South would be easier to conquer. Plus, Henry really takes the load off. I like that logic from Milo Pembrel, but I have not known Brady to like kind of shrink from any kind of challenge. I haven't seen him backing away from anybody. And he's already beaten Mahomes head-to-head in an AFC playoff spot, right? Like, he's already done that once. I don't know if he would avoid the AFC. What, didn't he? I know that you don't like the overtime rules, but did he do it or not, Josh?
Okay, this is coming from the guy that tried telling me, oh, Eli Manning didn't beat Tom Brady, and we're going to give that same conversation. That horrible
Chiefs...
Hold
on, when did I say that Eli Manning didn't beat Tom Brady?
You made it like, oh, let's not pretend like they went one-on-one. That was your exact quote.
No, it was Nick Foles. I said Nick Foles.
No. When we were having the conversation, you're like, it's like saying Eli Manning beat Tom Brady... mano y mano.
I have to go check the tape.
We're gonna have to go really far back to this stuff.
But anyway, go ahead.
But my point being is that KC defense was garbage, and that KC offense had to beat you by pretty much putting up 40, 50 some points. And what happened? The New England defense shut them out.
Crazy, isn't it?
In that first half, they shut them out, and you gave them that huge lead pretty much to start off, that 14-0 lead, which was huge. And then towards the end of the game, you threw the game-losing interception. You didn't see D. Ford go off sides.
That's true.
So let's be real about this. Come on, Joe.
All right, I'll buy it. What I'm saying is, it's also possible, based on what we know about Tom Brady, his training regimens and things like that, might not view things as clearly as Josh Rabick does, right? It's entirely possible that he thinks he can go head-to-head with Andy Reid and the Chiefs and everybody else, right? Totally possible. We're going to get to Parker next. A couple of good tweets as well. 610-632-0975. Rivers to Tampa. That'd be interesting. I wonder how good that would be. I could see it being all right. If Rivers has anything left, I think of the quarterbacks on the move, Rivers has the least left. So... we'll see. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. I've totally flipped my script on Jack, too. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Jack tweets back in. If somehow Brady doesn't come back to the Pats, I could see Belichick going with one of these proven vets. Like Rivers, boring, come on. Or another guy that becomes available, whatever. And then comes the big-time sentence. Maybe even someone like Fitzpatrick. Whoever it is will be a stopgap. Brady will definitely draft a quarterback. I say this with zero irony and all of the sincerity that I have in my heart. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots next year, I will buy every piece of Ryan Fitzpatrick merchandise that they sell in that team store. I could not be more excited for Fitzmagic's final chapters to be there in New England. I could not be any more excited by the prospect of anything happening in the rest of the NFL. That would just be amazing. For no other reason than I think for at least 10 weeks that he would kick ass, that he'd be amazing there, and everybody would be like, wait a minute, was it really not Brady the whole time? And then by the time like week 11 or 12 runs around and like the flame out starts, I could not be more excited by the prospect of any quarterback going to any other city. That is just amazing content from Jack. Thank you very much. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Would you be in on that, Josh? I see you smiling kind of like, you know, slyly.
I can just imagine Belichick bringing in someone like that. And let's just say the Fitz magic runs dry. And Belichick just turns up to that owner's box, points to the field. You did this.
That's right.
You did this.
This should be Jimmy. This should be year four of Jimmy. That's what he would be doing. Except, like, telepathically, because like his lips wouldn't move on the sidelines, because I haven't seen them move in quite some time. Parker in Westchester's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Parker.
So what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Good. Well, first, I did have an actual Tom Brady point for you, but
okay.
First, the Fitzpatrick piece there would be incredible.
I would love it so much. Like, I don't think I'd like anything more in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to happen, but if we just close our eyes for a second and picture it, it would be so much fun.
Glorious.
First, I don't see the Patriots moving off from Tom Brady. They'll give him a 1 or 2 year deal, make sure that they get everything out of him they can, and they'll probably draft somebody this year or next. I just don't see, I mean, he wasn't terrible this year for the most part. It's more or less his pieces. They didn't have the pieces around him.
Well, so what do you think about him and what he wants, though? Because I think you're right that New England probably would be interested in bringing him back, but he set it up in his contract that he can't be franchised. And, yeah, I don't get the impression that he was overly thrilled with the way the things played out in New England.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But, look, he wants to win, and there's literally no other better team organization. I don't buy the Las Vegas Raiders or the Chargers aren't built for him to win yet. I don't know some of the other teams yet, but, I mean, the Patriots do have the best system at this place right now from the win.
Okay.
They're adding another receiver to free agency, and he's still got it. Unless, you know, he wants to get out west with his wife and kids and warm up a bit. I can see that. He doesn't want to go out to California.
You're right.
But if he actually wants to win, you know, everybody's dying to get out to the Patriots. Everybody wants to go there to win, so I'd be a little surprised to see him just ditch them.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, and the thing is, Parker, the other element to it is that I think he still has family out in California as well, too, because that's where he's from originally. So.
Oh, totally. And I think he's probably got a big old mansion out there as well.
I'd assume so, yeah.
But, and then also about the Phil Rivers point, he's like a perfect transitional bridge gap quarterback for some team. Like the Colts or the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
You bring him in for a year or two, draft somebody young. He can get them ready, kind of educate them. He's also just so much fun to watch. Like, he put butts in seats. People would love to go out to watch them play. He's that perfect middleman guy.
Well, I think that especially, Parker, if he goes to a new team, right? Because, like, I think the Chargers, like, he was just as engaging for the Chargers, and they were still having trouble selling out their, like, soccer stadium. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally, man, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm with you there, and thanks for the phone call, Parker. Appreciate you holding as well. That is what I would look at if I were one of these other teams. Vegas? Right? Like, if you're the Raiders, you've been watching Phillip Rivers beat you for years. You know, are you thinking of the same thing, butts and seats? Phillip Rivers there? I don't know. By the way, I've told you about my friend who defected from New York Jets fandom to Washington fandom. I've told you this story before. I don't often let people out of fandom. I think that it's cheap to bounce from team to team, right? And I have rules set up. You know, they have to be equivalent teams. You can't be trading up in fan bases or whatever, right? But there are extenuating circumstances. You know how, like there are change of life events at work that will allow you to enroll in benefits or change your insurance plan or whatever, right? Birth of a kid or marriage or whatever, right? The butt fumble is one of those. Like, when the butt fumble happens, as far as I'm concerned, that is a life, a sports fandom changing event. So the butt fumble happened. He came to us and he said, I want out. I can't do this anymore. And we looked at each other. We said, okay, we got to find a team for you. And he ended up moving to D.C. He said, is Washington okay? I'm like, yeah, they stink. They're you know, bad enough. You can do that, and the rest is history, right? If you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, you've been through it. You have really, really been through it. You got, like, the glimpse of hope with the Blake Bortles AFC Championship game. Should have beaten the Patriots. Didn't beat the Patriots. You that close to going to the Super Bowl, right? They announced another game in London. You're going to have two home games in London. This is a life-changing event. They don't care about you. You don't have to care about them anymore. Like, that is ridiculous. If you bought season tickets to the Jaguars, like, hey, great news. We're going to London for two games, so now you can come with us twice. Hey, great news. I've got work and kids and stuff. The hell are you talking about? I live 4.5 miles from the stadium. I'm not flying over there. That is ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, both of the Jacksonville Jaguars fans out there, you have the right to jump ship to another equivalent team. Although I can't think of something less impressive. Like, leaving is one thing, right? There are sometimes you can't get a stadium built, or the owner just has a different vision or whatever, and it sucks. It's terrible. Like when St. Louis lost the Rams, I felt for you. It really stinks. It truly does. They're still in Jacksonville. They're just not your team anymore. A quarter of your home games are overseas. Josh, how do you process that? Like, if you're a Jaguars fan, you don't see league interest growing over there. It's literally just this circus that comes to town now a couple of times a year. It's going to be your team twice.
Yeah, I probably throw a hissy fit for about 2 hours, send out a bunch of social media posts, and then I have to get back on board because... the fan of the team, that's what you do. But it is crap because going to a Jaguars game is one of the cheaper tickets that there is. And when I lived in Jacksonville for 1 year, I remember looking at tickets for games, and obviously them and the Buccaneers that year were terrible. I would find tickets on the 50-yard line for like $35, $40. And I was like, looks like someone's going to the Jags game today.
Why? They suck. Who cares? I'm at an NFL field 50-yard line. Josh is always taking the long view there. Are you in agreement with me, or do you disagree that there are events that can occur where you can opt out of fandom?
Yes. And sometimes you're put in a situation where they expect you to be a fan, and you're like, no, 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 this doesn't work out for me. I had a friend who lived in Utah, when the Jazz moved out there.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't a big fan of Jazz. Don't blame him. So there's certain situations,
okay.
And in this case, yeah, if the team's going to abandon you at that point, they're starting to abandon you. We see kind of what Khan, the owner of the Jags, what the long-term plan is. You see, listen, you're going to make a lot more money if you move this team eventually.
I mean, flirt with a city other than London. You know, at least if you're... I don't know, what's a big NFL city that doesn't have a team now that LA has two? Like, you know, you could flirt with another big city and people be like, all right, I understand you're just trying to put on like an exhibition or you're doing a test drive for maybe moving the team. London? Never going to be a team in London. Shoot, Roger, I wasn't supposed to say that. Sorry. Okay. There's totally going to be a team in London someday. Maybe multiple, maybe a whole division. Maybe there'll be a European division. That won't wreak havoc with the schedule or bye weeks or, you know, player compensation or insurance or anything. Like, it'll be no problem. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Okay, on the other side, I want to get more of your quarterback predictions. We're going to take a walk around the show, figure out how we got here, and, you know, take a look at where we've been and where we're going. Also, the often imitated, never duplicated one more thing. All of that is coming up. Your phone number to join the conversation. You have a lifeline at 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing. This has been the Joe Torti Show so far. I guess it will be as we continue to roll up until midnight. Keep it locked right here. Like I said, you can get in without a break. 610-632-0975. More of your tweets as well. Plus, we've got to get a final update on our poll numbers regarding the approval ratings. All of that is coming your way straight ahead right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Final segment here before we say so long, but a lot of stuff to do here. We'll start it off with Mike in Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, man, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, thanks.
I think Tom Brady might go to the Chargers. I think that's where I think he lands.
You think so? Why is that? Why that fit?
I think Keenan Allen, they got Hunter Henry, Melvin Gordon. I mean, they just got a nice, they got a nice roster, but I feel like Philip Rivers was never the man to get the job done. And I feel like if Tom Brady was in that system, he'd thrive because that defense is getting better and better every year.
I always felt for Rivers because he was a guy who could get you so far, and he was super tough and super likable and stuff like that for a lot of people. But you're right. I mean, Brady's one of the best closers ever, which is why it's so amazing the Eagles were able to beat him in the Super Bowl, because like Tom Brady finds a way to pull that game out. We've seen that movie a million times. So the fact they were able to hold him off is remarkable. So with Los Angeles now, you're watching a team that, like you said, defensively way better than they used to be. I could see that fit, Mike. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's where I see him landing. And then, can I talk Sixers a little?
Sure, yeah, let her rip, man.
Yeah, Joel Embiid, I don't know if you saw, but against the Bulls, when he hit that three and he shushed the crowd.
Yes.
He also used some choice language towards the fans.
Yes.
And I love that. I think that Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet Smith, all social media have awoken the beast. I think that he's realized that, you know, all this negative attention's back on me, and I think Joel's back. I think he's going to talk smack again, because I think Under Armour, the deal that he has with his shoes and the clothing line, I think they're trying to tell him, I don't know if it's them or if it's management, to be professional so he's liked, because last year he was a villain. I mean, when we played Boston, he had 37 and 22, and he told the crowd, or he told the media after the game, he said, I'm the best defensive player in the league, and I'm the best center in the league. And I just want to know where that energy and where that fire is at this year.
Mike, as far as I'm concerned, if all it takes is a couple of boos or something like that to get him fired up, we should have people on the payroll that are trying to fire up Joel Embiid, because that's exactly what we need. Mike, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I don't think that, like, somebody called in talking about disrespectful to the fans or whatever. With all due respect to everyone involved, I don't care. Like, and by the way, Joel Embiid's going back and forth, you know, with the shush, and then, you know, he's talking to Jimmy Butler, and then he comes back out and he says, you know, his new thing, made for this. If I can take it, then you can too. Feel a tough, all love. Like, he's trying to troll the fans. I've got to be completely honest with you. When it comes to this guy in particular, I don't care what the relationship is, right? And here's why I say this. This is the NBA. This is not the NFL. This is not the NHL. This is not Major League Baseball. You're not going to be married to this guy forever. No one's married to anybody in the NBA forever. Player movement's at an all-time high. You're seeing people go all over the place, right? If my perspective is, I don't care if you boo because you paid your money, you can do whatever you want, which, by the way, is my position, he can do whatever he wants too, provided that you're doing your job, Joel, on the basketball court, right? I don't care. I don't care if he likes the fans. I don't care if the fans like it. That doesn't make a lick of difference to me. What I need is for him to get back to 37 and 22, right? If he wants to do that and then, like, insult the fans in every press conference immediately after every game, if he just goes in and he feels like a villain in his own room, fine. I don't know why it's such a big deal that we have to have such a great relationship with players. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand. I would like to think that if Russell Westbrook were here, there would be at least half of the fan base, like, I can't freaking stand Russell Westbrook. And then they're like, nodding solemnly in approval as he gets another triple-double. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. I don't care what the relationship is.
And I hate that this topic has to come up because the biggest lead was he actually was the one that closed out the game, not only with the three, but then with the steal. That's what essentially closed out that game.
Right.
And that's the biggest concern with this team come playoff time is you need either your star or your superstar to close out games when you're on the road.
Correct. Absolutely right. So I would assume that of all of the angles, this is probably the least explored that has been on the airwaves today. But, you know, I don't care. I used to care when I was a kid and I knew that Allen Iverson was going to be with the team for 10 years of my life, right? Like, the idea that Allen Iverson wouldn't like the fans during that 10-year period would have been, like, literally too much for young Joe to take, okay? I would have had, like, a panic attack. I don't care now. I don't care. We're going to be together. This is a business transaction, right? I'm paying to watch you play. You're getting paid to play. Let's everybody do what they're supposed to do. I'll boo you to rile you up if that's what it takes. Take my boo. Go put up 40 and 25. Then everything works. All right, here we go. It's time for the often imitated, never duplicated. The one, the only one more thing.
But there is one more thing.
Yes, this is something that we need to be aware of. If you weren't already, Rage Against the Machine announces a massive reunion tour. What is worse, Josh Rabick? That this has made the news, or that I didn't know that Rage Against the Machine needed to be reunited in the first place? Like, I just didn't know. Like, was it big news when they stopped touring? Did they break up? Was there some kind of massive falling out? I know they haven't been out in like 10 years, according to this news story, but I didn't notice. And it's a huge story right now. Josh, Rage Against the Machine does not seem like it'd be your cup of tea, are they?
I mean, there's a few songs I like if, say, I'm listening to our sister station, WMMR, it'll come on and
of
everything,
course.
But I don't keep up to date on that.
Are there bands that you keep up with where you're like, oh my God, they're getting back together, or I can't believe this band broke up?
Yes, I couldn't actually cite a band right now,
but
because most of what I keep up with is probably a little bit before Rage Against the Machine,
okay.
But it, same area.
I feel like I'm uncultured for having this not be like a massive impact on me. But like, I feel like somebody would bring this up to me who's like a big music head. I'd be like, oh yeah, man, that song was great on Guitar Hero 3. And then they'd look at me and be like, really? Like, you're picking out one song from a Guitar Hero game? Like, that's my my impact.
Well, know? Think about what we do for a living. The Flyers and Sixers are on how many times on the same night? I'm rocking two TVs. The last thing I'm doing is going on social media, seeing if Rage Against the Machine got packed together.
I would go, though. You know, I would go check it out, the show. I don't know if it's anything that moves me, but I do see that it's like a major trending topic on Twitter. So I wanted to know if this is a me problem or if this is an everybody else problem, that this is like the huge deal.
So the question is, are you breaking out the lighter if you go?
I think that nobody does the lighter now, do they? Or do they? Is it still the cell phone that people put up now?
Yeah, I do have the candle app. So whenever I see a band live and everything, I'll break that out. I'll get the lead singer to crack and laugh with the cat. Got you.
Genius. Genius. Well done. All right. There we go. That's it. That's the one, the only one more thing. A little light on the one more thing today. A couple reasons why. No weird news that I could track down. I'll jump out a window before I talk about the Oscars. And in the sports world, when we're talking about the Knicks coaching job, it's a little light on content. So instead, I bring to you Rage Against the Machine. You don't like it? I'm sorry, I'll try harder next time. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in, my co-host for the evening. Really appreciated all of your contributions. Josh, let's get a final poll numbers update as well on the 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter poll that we put out regarding team approval ratings, kind of rating which team has the highest approval rating. Josh, where do we kind of stand on that?
The Eagles actually ended up winning with 44%,
okay.
Followed by the Flyers at 38%, the Sixers at 10%, and then the Phillies Unfortunately, we're in last then.
Well, I mean, that's standard. We expect that based on what they've done. And I would say that that is, as the Hulk would put it in Avengers Endgame, an absolute win. Like, this is, if you're the Flyers and you're in second place in the approval ratings, you're doing all right. Over 1,100 votes. Thanks to Josh Rabick as well. Outstanding job producing. Thank you, brother.
You got it, dude.
I will talk to you guys next time, off tomorrow. And I think I'm back at it on Wednesday. So we'll reconvene then, and I'll talk to you later. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.